Greeks are angry over big budget cuts, but they may have a say in the country's financial future.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Germany's economic minister said today Berlin does support investment in Greece to get the debt-burdened country's economy growing again. Greece's economy is expected to shrink by 5.5% this year. And polls in Greece show nearly all Greeks believe the austerity measures there are making the economy much worse. But Greeks may get a chance to shape some financial reforms in a voter referendum later this year. Joanna Kakissis reports from Athens.
Let's hit the streets. That's become the fight song for Greeks who say they can't afford lower wages, pension cuts, and tax hikes. But turnout for the demonstrations earlier this week was much smaller than expected. Elena Rousoglou owns a toy shop in Athens. She says she stayed home because she feels powerless. A referendum, she says, would give voice to the people.
The referendum may be the solution because all of us, we will vote about our future and what we want for the next days. It will be real, the voice of us.
The referendum aims to get public approval to change the constitution. That would make it easier to fire unproductive civil servants and collect taxes. But most people really want a referendum on austerity measures. They don't believe the European Union or even their own politicians know what Greeks are going through. In Athens, I'm Joanna Kakissis for Marketplace.
10 years ago today, the U.S. led Britain and other countries into the invasion of Afghanistan in response to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. And since then, Afghanistan has become the largest recipient of aid money in the world. The U.S. alone spends more than $300 million a month there. The BBC's David Loyne has just returned from Afghanistan. He's been investigating where aid money has gone over the last decade, and David joins me now from London. Hi, David.
Hi, Steve.
That's a lot of money. I mean, where has all that money gone?
Well, I reckon that around $60 million a week, which is a huge amount of money, has gone into Afghanistan, the largest recipient of aid in the world over the last 10 years. And a lot of it has been misspent. A lot of it's gone, frankly, back into the pockets of contractors in the US and not touching the sides in Afghanistan. There have been some successes. Some girls are going to school. Some clinics are working. Roads have been built, but they've been at a huge cost. Those roads have cost maybe three or four times what they would have cost to build in the US. So huge mistakes have been made. And I think a lot of questions now being asked by US politicians about just how that aid money has been misspent.
Well, 10 years on now, David, what kind of lessons have we learned as far as spending money in Afghanistan?
Well, I think conceptual lessons are beginning to be learned. Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, has talked about the failure to build the capacity of the Afghan government and a new willingness by U.S. donors to put money into government systems rather than outside the state. But that's been the big mistake over the years, I think, has been contractors coming in believing that they could do things better than the Afghans, not training Afghans to do the work, spending a lot of money on Americans. It costs $500,000 a year to keep a U.S. civilian in Afghanistan in terms of security and insurance and travel and all those other things. And those are the costs that that should have gone to Afghans and in fact went into the pockets of U.S. contractors. There have been major problems and a country which 10 years on, I think, deserved better.
The BBC's David Loyne in London. David, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are slightly lower at the moment, but Asian shares rose today. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 183 more points, keeping the win streak alive and closing at 11,123.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
We're going to get the big Labor Department employment report in about an hour and a half. No one's expecting miracles. But in the midst of this lackluster job market, there are expanding companies that are hiring. One software company called Tendril averages about 10 new hires a month. Here's Marketplace's Sarah Gardner.
Want to hear some good news for a change?
We have grown so significantly this year, we're kind of busting at the seams at our current site.
Wait, it gets better.
So at the end of the year, we're moving into a new building, which will have a gym and an exercise room.
That's Don Curley, Vice President of Human Capital at Tendril. Tendril's in a high-growth business, making gadgets and software that help consumers monitor their home energy use. Last month alone, Tendril hired 25 new workers. But even in this job market, those hires didn't come easy. Software engineers are in short supply, and Tendril's got West Coast competition.
It's the Googles, it's the Amazons, it's the eBays, it's all of the big name companies who are also in the market for software engineers.
Tendril competes partly by selling itself to potential hires as a green company in a city dubbed the happiest place in America. The company's bus billboard ads didn't hurt either. Employees dreamed up pitches that techie types might appreciate, like, "We're looking for honey badgers."
Honey badgers. It was kind of a viral YouTube video about the honey badger as an animal, and they're relentless and will work hard in pursuit of food.
And will relentlessly work hard for Tendril was the idea, apparently. Maybe you have to be a software engineer. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, Australia's High Court has put the kibosh on any more appeals from the band Men at Work. A lower court last year said the Aussie band copied a flute line in their song Down Under from the old campfire song Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. Well, Men at Work has said any similarities to the Kookaburra song was inadvertent. They'd been ordered to pay 5% of their song earnings since 2002 and future royalties to the copyright owners of the Kookaburra song. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
More than a million people are expected to leave the military over the next 5 years and start looking for jobs. Vets are hoping to market their wartime experience.
There's more discipline. There's more of a need and a want to be on time and show up to work, which you don't get a lot of times.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the front lines of the labor wars. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.